Let's travel back to 1912. Christian Larson had these words to say. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk about health, happiness, and prosperity to every single person you meet. Promise yourself to make all your friends and family feel like there's something in them. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything and in your own life, make your own optimism come true. Promise yourself to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect in your life only the best. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own, and forget about mistakes you've made in your past. You've learned from them, and you are pressing on to the greater achievements in your very near future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give so much time to your own self-improvement that you do not have time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble in your life, because you are, and yes, my friend, I really do mean you are an optimist. Welcome aboard. Don't worry. Showtime, live from Homer, Alaska. I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed twilight's past gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gay.
man, what you may not know is that while that is playing, I am standing, always with my hand over my heart, and I have a flag, American flag, on a small little foil pledge of allegiance that probably was mail order. My grandfather, Art Kohler, had mail ordered it at some point, got this, spread out this little foiled sticker on a placard and then framed it, and that's on my wall. It sits behind me, so I have to stand up, turn around, and face it. And I got to tell you, hair on the back of my neck just stood up during that rendition by Chris Stapleton. And I'm standing there smiling and thinking, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you at this time in the world, right now, right here with you. I know it's challenging. I know there are challenges ahead of us. I know we're amidst crises around the world, crises around the country, crises of conscience in our own country, in our own backyard. But I wouldn't pick another time in human history than right now. I want to be here right now with you. Tell you what I'm going to do to celebrate you today. That's right, it's our Alaskan Mindbender presented by Captain's Coffee Roasting Company. What a great company it is. Online, captainscoffee.com, on planet Earth, on Pioneer Avenue, in the greater metroplex of Homer, Alaska, across from Salvation Army. Do what I do. Go to Captain's Coffee. And if you're not in the Homer area or the Homer greater metroplex, then just go online. Captain's Coffee.com. Captainscoffee.com. I want to send you with a free coffee card today. Free coffee card to Captain's Coffee. Here's a question. You know, a lot of people are a little surprised when they meet me and they go, oh, you're from Homer? I get that less, I'll be honest. I'm 50 years old. And so I am finding there's a lot of young people, 20s to 30s, that still live here in Homer or in Alaska, that were born and raised in Alaska. It's become very much more common to find people that are born and raised here that are staying here or coming back here. But for a while, it was sort of an anomaly to meet people, and they say, you're from here? It's like, yeah, my grandparents got to Anchorage, Alaska in 1947. Our family's been here ever since. A lot of people got here sooner. A lot got here later. My question for you, again, you're playing for a Captain's Coffee card. There's no wrong answer. This is just sort of an informal poll we're taking. Where do you hail from? Alaska? Okay, which town? Where were you born and raised? That's what I mean by hail. Where do you come from? Are you a born and raised Alaskan? If so, where? Or from Sheboygan, Michigan? Or Tallahassee, Florida? Or Poughkeepsie, New York? Or Guatemala? Or where? Where are you from originally? Like, where were you born and raised at 299-7653? 907-299-7653. Help us build our database. I'm just curious, because Alaskans, I found, come from everywhere. It don't matter how you got here, as long as you got here, you're on top of the world. Radio on purpose. You can find me online at ilovehomeralaska.com. ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast if you want to listen back to this show or our sister show, The Backyard Millionaire. You can also pick up my books at ilovehomeralaska.com. The Watchman, just now available on audio and paperback and ebook, as well as The Making of Man, Born to Live, and The Backyard Millionaire at ilovehomeralaska.com. We're brought to you in part by Horizon Wireless. Horizon Wireless at 226-3130. I'm telling you, it runs this show. Without Horizon Wireless, I'm sitting here flapping these gums, talking to nobody, because they're the ones who could connect us up with, that's right, the mothership high atop Diamond Ridge. When Mr. David Webb's spinning the tunes, he's doing it using the pipeline of Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. Tell them we sent you. Great show today. Going to talk about the quest. I've got a request, may I suggest, for your quest. You get to pick the quest, but I've got a suggestion. Also, times like these, TBC Radio Word of the Day, plus on leadership. And also, I want to break down two different books, two of my favorite books in the world, and they couldn't be more disparate, both in time and topic, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, as well as I want to get into Winning Friends and Influencing People, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. No relation to Andrew Carnegie, by the way, but he did change, interestingly enough, his last name spelling. I can't remember if he dropped a Y and added an I. He did something to make it so it was congruent with the famous and very wealthy Andrew Carnegie, but they're no relation. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Stick around, much more to come. I really mean it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but right here. What about you? Do you ever feel that way? I just feel incredibly grateful to be here with you at this point in time. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Mr. David Webb is your engineer and producer backup at the mothership. I'm Chris Story. You can find me online at ilovehomeralaska.com. I want to talk about your quest. We're also going to get into Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I want to break it down just a little bit. I talked to a friend the other day who is an avid reader, and he said he just reread Rich Dad, and he said, man, it was just a great refresher on life. And I've told you that before. It's one of the greatest compliments I've ever received about my book, The Backyard Millionaire, How to Create Wealth Where You Are with What You've Got, which should be on your library shelf next to Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But the greatest compliment I ever got about the book was, oh, I thought this was just a book about making money, but this is a book about making a life. And that's exactly what I think. And I think that Rich Dad, Poor Dad's a bit like that. It's good for a little reset. So we'll get into the top 10 points about Rich Dad, Poor Dad that I think you should know. But first, I want to suggest a quest. May I request you go on a quest? And here's the thing. You don't have to pack your bags. You needn't find your passport. All you've got to do is make up your mind. Make up your mind to go on a quest. I request this quest for you because I think the fate of our country depends upon it. You. Depends on you picking up this mantle and saying, yes, I'm going to go forward with this quest. I think you're being called. I think it's the classic Joseph Campbell hero's journey. You are the hero. And again, your quest is close at hand. It's as close as your backyard. See, if America is to falter, honestly, I don't think it's going to be because of our busy demonstrations in other countries at the tip of missiles and so forth, spreading democracy. I don't think that's going to be the reason that we falter, if America is to falter. Now, if America fails, it's going to be because you and I let the homeland fail, lost our will, lost our desire to be free, lost our edge. Our edge, which meant that we couldn't, no one will take your freedom. Never mind giving it away. See, I think the quest I suggest is about ownership. I want you to own four homes in your own backyard. Yep, but that may not be for you, and I still want you on this quest. I want you to have a sense of ownership in your own town, your own community, your backyard. Your backyard extends beyond the fence. It extends into the entire community, the lifeblood of your community. So my request for your quest is that you pay attention. I've said it before, I'll say it again, local news rarely comes at you. More often than not, you got to go get it. You know, more often than not, you have to pursue what's going on. You have to make it your business. You have to make it your point of view. You have to make your point of view known. And a lot of times you're going to be suppressed. For example, the Homer News only wants one kind of editorial. They've told Greg Sarber to pound sand. They don't want his conservative point of view. So Greg Sarber, rather than sticking his head in the sand, says, no problem. I'll create a Substack. I'll create my own newsletter. He's creating his own voice in his community, in his own backyard. We all can do that. You can do that. May I suggest a quest that includes a force for good right where you are? in your own backyard. Now, BlackRock isn't buying up homes, single-family homes across this country, at gunpoint. They're not forcing themselves into your neighborhood. They're not forcing themselves and foisting themselves on communities. They're doing it with your cooperation. They're doing it with your partnership. You've become a partner in the undoing of America if you are selling to these mega corporations, these monsters. You can stop it. They started it, but it's going to be up to you to stop it. China's not invading our shores with landing crafts and unloading soldiers. They've got a million-man standing army. They're not using it. They're using our choice. No, we're giving it away to them by choice. We can stop. We're willingly selling our farmland to the CCP. How on earth? How is that happening? How is CCP owning American farmland? Ask yourself that. The answer is somebody is selling it to them. They're not doing it by force. They're doing it by our choice. So our quest, I suggest, is to take back your country one day at a time, one town at a time, one block at a time. Whoever holds the deed holds the heart of the country. Again, you needn't pack your bags. This quest starts here, right now. And it's vital. It's as vital as though you were being called to a far-off land. No matter the stage or age of your life right now, there's something for you to do. You have something to offer. Okay, are you in the column that says, yeah, I want to go out and buy more of my own backyard? Great, good for you. Bully for you. That time has passed me, or I'm just not interested. That doesn't appeal. No problem. There's something for you. I think your quest lives inside you, and you know it, and you haven't, if you haven't answered it yet, nobody needs to point it out to you. You don't need to go on a sojourn. You don't need to go into a sweat lodge. You don't need to go take some exotic mushroom or might start microdosing with psilocybin, whatever. You don't need to do that to find this quest. I think you know it is. I think you know what it is. I think I submit to you, you know, when I say this is a quest for you, there's something for you to do. There's something for you to contribute. There's something for you to get back right now and to take control in your community. You already know what it is. You already know. It resonates with you. Just these words are resonating with you. You're like, you know what? Yes, today's the day. Going to take action today. It's a phone call. It's putting something in your calendar to schedule an appointment, a meeting, send a text message, an email, write a letter, reach out to somebody, find out when the next zoning meeting is in your area, find out when the next council meeting is, assembly meeting, find out when the next election is. Who's even running? Do you know? We all have to know. We all have to be part of this solution. America is counting on you.
Stand and deliver. You've let them put the fear on you. Stand and deliver. But not a word you heard was true. And if there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do. Do you want to be a free man, or do you want to be a slave? Do you want to be a free man, or do you want to be a slave? Do you want to wear these chains until you're lying in the grave? I don't want to be a pauper, and I don't want to be a prince. I don't want to be a pauper, and I don't want to be a prince. I just want to do my job, playing the blues for my friend.
Magna Carta. So what's your job? What's your quest? May I suggest you start today? I think you know. I think it's in your heart already. I think, like I said, when you hear those words, that it's time for you to answer the call. I think, in fact, I would go further. I'd say I know you know what that is. It's alive within you, and the challenge and the task at hand is to simply answer the call. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Thank you for indulging my thoughts and my vanity to suggest even for a moment that I would put you on a quest. Truthfully, I'm talking to myself. You're overhearing me say that. And if it means anything to you, great. I hope it does, but I'm really talking to me. I needed that. I needed to hear stand and deliver. I needed to hear that there's a quest, there's a mission, there's a reason, that there's something within my control. There's something that I can do. And there's something you can do where you are with what you've got. It's time for our TBC Radio Word. The word presented by TBC Radio as it is every week. You can call TBC at 907-803-9424, 803-9424. Tell Josiah we sent you from on top of the world to get the word out about your business right here in your own backyard with TBC Radio. Today's word, oh, it's fun to say. Honestly, I'm smiling right now in advance just because I know as soon as you hear this word, you're going to go, yeah, you nailed it, Chris. That's a really good word. Are you ready? Eupeptic, huh? Come on. Eupeptic, it is spelled E-U-P-E-P-T-I-C, eupeptic. The root word of eupeptic, and by the way, it is Greek, E-U, meaning good or well. Eupeptic, used in a sentence, despite the torrential rain and a flat tire on the way to the picnic, Bob remained eupeptic, believing that the soggy sandwiches were a small price to pay for an unexpected swim in a puddle. Eupeptic. I love that word. You know what I love about the word eupeptic? More, maybe not more than anything, other than the peptic. I don't know what it is, but it's fun to say. It kind of feels good on the palate. Try it. Eupeptic. I'll wait for you. Eupeptic. That's not bad. I mean, you know, you're not a professional broadcaster, but it's not bad. It's kind of fun to say, isn't it? Eupeptic. Very good. It reminds me of the word eustress. Same prefix, E-U, stress. Eustress actually means good stress. It's good for your body to put yourself into eustress. And meaning, like, if you go for a brisk walk, that's eustress on the body. Weightlifting, jumping rope is eustress on the body. Distress, obviously, are things that are harmful to the body or your mind and your nervous system. So eustress is when you put yourself, I'll tell you eustress, for, and this is why I think it's really powerful. Stephen King's movie, well, book that was turned into a movie numerous times called It, I've never seen it. And at once when I look at the preview on maybe watching it or renting it, I'll kind of, there's a bit of a eustress moment that I've got, like, this could be really scary and fun. And then distress, its evil cousin, takes a hold of me by the throat and says, Chris, you don't like clowns. You've been scared of clowns your entire life. And I can't watch it. I cannot. I know that if somebody made me, taped me up and put me in front of a television and said, made me watch it, it would be distress like nobody's business. However, for the other person, it could be eustress, a thrill, exhilarating. So not there's no one path to eustress. It's whatever works for you. I mean, I talk about jogging. I love jogging on my treadmill, not outside, but on my treadmill. That puts me in a state of eustress. If I said to somebody else, like, hey, you need to jog 4 miles today, that might put them in distress. So remember, the word is eupeptic. Use it in a sentence. It comes from, it's good. It's good for you. Eupeptic. There you have it. I'm Chris Story. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio. Times like these and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We're going to break it down when we return. Stick around. All right. Where is you from? That's right. It's our Alaskan Mindbender presented by Captain's Coffee Roasting Company, captainscoffee.com. Where do you hail from? Where did you come from? Where were you born and raised? At 299-7653. 907-299-7653. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story. Yeah, we've got a couple of answers already. Seattle. Lars from Seattle until 1980. And Ron says Waukesha. Waukesha? Waukesha. I like that. Waukesha, Wisconsin, which, by the way, coincidentally, is not very far away from Sheboygan, which is fun to say. I don't know why, but I've always been fascinated with Sheboygan. It almost sounds like a made-up word, but it isn't. It's a real place. And so I always say, it doesn't matter where you're from, Sheboygan, or, you know, it's just fun. I don't know. Is it just me? But I love the sound of some words, like eupeptic. Our word of the day. So where are you from? Going to give away a couple of different coffee cards. I've also got a couple of our minted coins from here on Top of the World. We call it the coin of the realm on Top of the World. Two copper coins, one from last year, one from this year. We don't have many left of either. We only mint 100, and we're down to just a handful. I almost don't even want to let any of last year's coins go, because when they're gone, they're gone. I mean, I got to keep a collection, don't I? I might give one away. We just finished the design. I'm so excited. The designer and I this morning just finished the third coin in the series, and I'm so excited. I will tell you, the previous two coins have been copper. This New Year's coin is gold, and it is absolutely stunning. It's time for what Paul Harvey said, are times like these. The thing about times like these is there have always been times like these. Right. Thank you, Kid Rock, for our little theme intro to Times Like These. Whoever would have thought that Paul Harvey would have gone so well with Kid Rock? Well, I did. Times like these. The thing about them is there's always been times like these. And I should tell you this, by the way. I had my research assistant, production assistant for the show, pull these, so I've not even glanced at this. So any relevance or irrelevance, I should say, is going to be on Terry, not me. Okay, 1519, Ferdinand Magellan's fleet set sail on this day from Spain on a voyage to circumnavigate the globe. 1519. September 20th, 1519. Has anybody seen Ferdinand? Yeah, he's circumnavigating the globe, see? Amazing. 1870, on this day, Italian forces under King Victor Emmanuel II, of course, captured Rome, completing the unification of Italy. Oh, but it's never been more violent than today. You don't think that was a violent experience? 1973, year after I was born, 1973, Billie Jean King defeated Bobby Riggs in the famous Battle of the Sexes tennis match. Billie Jean King, I believe, didn't she just have some, I don't want to say harsh words, but didn't she just kind of get into a bit of a dust-up with the woke crowd? Or am I thinking of somebody else? Anyway, 1973, Billie Jean King. There you have it. By the way, I wanted to be a professional tennis player when I was a kid. Chris Evert, I just was in love with her. I loved watching John McEnroe, and it was a little bit like Night at the Fights. You know, I just loved when he would yell, and they were my generation. They were the heroes of my generation. If you like tennis, and I loved tennis, but what I actually realized was I liked their infamy. I liked their celebrity more than I liked actually playing the game, to a point where I would dedicate myself to the game. I didn't, obviously. I'm here with you. 1977, the first Star Wars film, retitled Star Wars Episode 4. No, Terry, you should have cut that out. It's not retitled anything. It's still just Star Wars. Gah. A New Hope was released in theaters. 1977, I remember seeing that in the Homer Theater. My whole family, we all went. I was very little, 5 years old at the time. And no, you know what? I think it was the next one. Can you find out, anybody, when did the next Star Wars movie come out? Was it 1979? Because it would have been the second. It wasn't the original one. It was the next one. We all went as a family to go see it at the Homer Theater. It was fantastic. 1984, a suicide bomber from the Irish Republican Army attacked the Grand Hotel in Britain, England. during the Conservation Party conference. Oh, man. Targeting Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. She survived, but several others were killed. That was 1984. Those Irish, Northern Irish people, they did a lot of blowing things up, didn't they? 2008, Hurricane Ike made landfall in Texas, causing widespread destruction, leaving millions without power on this day. 2011, Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, which banned openly gay individuals from serving in the U.S. military, was officially repealed. 2012, the Curiosity rover, part of NASA's Mars Science Laboratory mission, discovered evidence that ancient stream bed on Mars, suggesting a planet may have once actually had flowing water. There's something about Mars. Did you ever read the Mars Chronicles by Ray Bradbury? Who was the other one? Who wrote Tarzan? Edgar Rice Burroughs. Didn't he also write a whole series on Mars and going to Mars? It's been a fascination of ours. If only we could stop the madness and just focus on interplanetary travel. Boy, think where we'd be. 2017, Hurricane Category 4 Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico. 2020, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, affectionately known as RBG by the millennial group, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, pioneer in women's advance, passed away. Oh, was that 2020 she passed away? Gosh, it seems fresher than that. I didn't realize that she actually passed away in 2020. And that was modern history. In 1498, 13th century artist, inventor Leonardo da Vinci unsuccessfully tested his prototype of a flying machine in Milan. Wow, 1498. That is pretty remarkable. Let's move on here. I think that's what you need to know about what has happened on this day. By the way, Dave said he was originally from Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. So we've got Pennsylvania, we've got Seattle, we've got Wisconsin. What about you? Enter right now to win. Even if you don't want anything, just play the game. Text it at 299-7653. Where are you from?
In times like these, we need to be strong. We need to carry on. We need to get along, hold on, and right what's wrong. In times like these, we need to find a way to make a better day. Keep our feet on the ground, turn it round, come what may.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Thank you for spending just a bit of time with me. If you want to share the show with a friend anywhere that you can download podcasts, you're welcome to do it. Follow the show, rate, subscribe, the whole thing. There's 750 episodes available on any podcasting platform you choose. We're out there all over the place. Or you can go to my website, ilovehomeralaska.com. Here's a quest worth committing to. This was written in 1776. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
History will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man.
Very wise words by the great communicator, Ronald Reagan. president of my childhood. Inspirational words will never be forgotten. In just a little bit, I want to dig into Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I want to give you the 10 top pieces of information I think you should know from the book. A bit of a book summary, if you will. Maybe you've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was talking to Anna Reed, one of our associates here at Story Real Estate this morning, and I noticed in her briefcase she had a copy of 7 Habits for Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And I coveted that book. I was like, ooh, you've got a girl. I love that book. And she had said something I found profound. She said, you know, I've had this book for a long, long time, read it a long time ago, but it was too much. And I took some tidbits from it, but it just was too much at that time. And now she is just soaking it up. It is speaking to her powerfully. And I said, you know what? That is the power of books. It truly is. There are books that you should have on your shelf, but maybe you're not ready for them yet. I know this happened to me many times. I've been inspired to go get a book and then go, oh, I don't know. I'll put it up. Don't get rid of it. Just put it on the shelf. And then one day, the teacher will appear when the student is ready. You'll grab that book and you'll go, oh, this is great. Point in fact, I was on a trip to Seward in late August, and I brought with me Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. I'd read Great by Choice. I'd read his other book, Built to Last, but I'd had Good to Great there just sitting on the shelf. And for whatever reason, it didn't appeal to me. I took it with me to Seward and just couldn't get enough. It was like, oh, this is what I needed after like 8 years of just sitting there on my shelf. Speaking of books, we're going to get into the top 10 points you should know from Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Just one of these ideas could change your life when we return to the top of the world. Stick around.
I'm Ray Bradbury, but you're very curious, aren't you, to find out how I fell in love with books. Now, remember this. Love is at the center of your life. The things that you do should be things that you love, and things that you love should be things that you do.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Speaking of books, let's dig into Rich Dad, Poor Dad. These are 10 points I think you should know about the book. Please get it. Put it on your library shelf. Share it with a friend. It should be sitting there right next to The Backyard Millionaire. How to Create Wealth Where You Want. What you got right next to that, I want you to put Rich Dad, Poor Dad. One of the things that he emphasizes, Robert Kiyosaki emphasizes in the book, is the importance of a financial education. Hello. It's not just about being able to balance a checkbook. That's important. That's an imperative that I wish was taught more in school. Do you know how many people I've met that never learned how to balance a checkbook in school? It just wasn't even part of the conversation. It ought to be a financial literacy, a financial education. Now, I don't want financial philosophy taught by probably 90% of the teachers out there. Probably not. What I mean to say is functionally literate when it comes to balancing a checkbook. What, you know, and obviously this is something we ought to be teaching our own kids in our own families, because then we can talk about capitalism in its true form and not have a dinge put upon it. I know one of my daughter's government teachers was teaching about Ronald Reagan. And she said that Ronald Reagan was effectively a socialist. And my hair wasn't on, I don't have a lot of hair left. So for it to catch fire is a big deal. And so once my hair wasn't any longer on fire, we had words, and not negatively, but I just said, I need you to explain that to me. I need you to go through it with me. Tell me, in what world, on what planet is Ronald Reagan a socialist? Hello? Anyway, long story short is my point is the financial, and now I'm just mad. I'm just angry again. All right. Financial education. It's huge. It's a big part of it. It's critical to achieving anything in life is to understand money. How is money made? Where is it kept? How do you grow money? How do you accumulate wealth? How do rich people think? How do wealthy people think that differs from people that are stuck in a poverty track of life? It's a huge financial a piece of the puzzle is education, just understanding. And I'm sorry, but education is free today, by and large. My show, The Backyard Millionaire, can be caught anywhere around the world online at ilovehomeralaska.com. It's absolutely free. And it's something that we can find education on YouTube about money. We can find education on financial wealth accumulation. All of it's available online, absolutely free. You don't even have to pay for it. It's just, where are you looking for it? So financial education, Robert Kiyosaki says, is fundamentally important. I agree 100%. The rat race, basically what Robert Kiyosaki is suggesting in the rat race idea. Now, it was his original book, or actually it was a game, and it was how to get out of the rat race, which means, in other words, it's a cycle of a consumer debt followed by income with very slow incline over time, and you just get caught into this cycle. How to break free of that rat race, where you can own more of your time versus being owned by the clock, and having prosperous passive income. Understanding assets and liabilities. This really comes back to the fundamentals of education. What is an asset or liability? Now, Robert Kiyosaki will tell you your home is a liability. All he means to say is it's costing you money every month. In my book, Backyard Millionaire, I address it just a wee little bit differently. In other words, it is obviously an asset in that it's growing wealth over time, but it ought not to be put into the category of asset columns such as a rental producing property, because you yourself in your home, if you use leverage to buy your own personal home, you're the one paying the interest. The cost of the money is coming out of your pocket, not the tenant's. And that's what he means, is the difference between an asset and a liability. It costs you money every month to own this versus makes you money every month to own it. That's the fundamental difference. Again, it comes back to financial education. The power of entrepreneurship, understanding. Robert Kiyosaki teaches the mindset of the entrepreneur, which is different than a business owner, which is different than an employee. So you have big business and you have a lot of employees and CEOs and people making a lot of wealth inside a big business that aren't entrepreneurs. And you have an entrepreneur who might be selling homemade wooden spoons. But is it a small business? Okay, in which case it's actually effectively a job. Entrepreneurs think about scale. Scaling. Elon Musk is a classic example of a classic entrepreneur at a scale that doesn't interest me. I'm interested in him. I'm interested in him wanting to get to Mars. I love it. But it doesn't interest me to a point to have that kind of scale that I would commit that kind of time and sacrifices that he's made. That's just the difference between us. I'm happy with our business. I love our business. I love scaling our production business, our real estate business, our properties business. We have our own little mini empire, and I love it just the way it is and the way it's growing. But Elon and other entrepreneurs are always constantly redoubling and scaling. Sometimes they go bust. Sometimes they scale to the moon or Mars. Don't work for money, says Robert Kiyosaki. Make money work for you. This comes back to passive income. This is about, for example, this is very similar to having prosperity. Buckminster Fuller said, prosperity is the amount of income you have going forward without working for it. That's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Understanding taxes. This is huge. This is not something that I give advice on, because I'm under my licensure, I better be careful, very careful, so as not to be giving tax advice. It's very dangerous. And truth of it is, you shouldn't be getting marital advice from the guy at the laundromat. You shouldn't be getting tax advice from your realtor. I think both of those things go hand in hand. You ought to be going to the right people. But I can tell you this about taxes. Get somebody on your team. Have somebody that you know, like, and trust advise you. But just understanding the difference between taxes, what's owed, and what you have to pay. In other words, what am I trying to say? Be a happy taxpayer, as Jim Rohn says. Pay your fair share, but not more than your fair share. Don't overpay because you don't know what to pay or what deductions are legal and what you can do. This let me just go on a bit of a riff here with Warren Buffett. I like a lot of what Warren has to say about money. I think he's an interesting person, but I will never forget somewhere in there, he was railing against the current tax structure in America, that it was weighted towards the top people such as the wealthy, such as himself. And I said to myself, and I said to the world at that time, but Warren, you can fix that yourself. He doesn't take a salary. Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, what he does is he pays himself dividends. What are they taxed at? A much lower rate. They're capital gains. Capital gains tax is insignificant compared to earned income. So he said, Warren did, that my secretary is paying more in taxes than me. What he really meant was she's paying a higher rate than him because he chooses to withdraw his income and take his money differently because that's allowed. Well, that also spurs on places like his to employ hundreds of thousands of people who are all paying earned income tax. So anyway, I digress, but that kind of speaks back to, if you hear that and you don't have the financial education Robert Kiyosaki wants you to have, you might think, yeah, why is the secretary paying more in taxes? She's not. Higher rate, different forms of income. Totally different forms of income. The importance of taking action. Robert Kiyosaki says that it's action, not just knowledge, that's going to actually help you win your own financial freedom and win when it comes to the game of prosperity.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, because worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. Be idle with despair. I'll gather myself around my faith. Light the darkness most fear. My hand, the small.
You really can do something right now where you are with what you've got. You've got it within your own hands. See what I did there? You've got it within your own hands to make a difference in your life and those around you. If you're interested in accumulating more wealth, great, go for it. There's books out there, there's avenues out there like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, As a Man Thinketh, The Science of Getting Rich, Backyard Millionaire. You like how I just kind of squeezed that in amongst the classics. There's ways to get the education and there's avenues to take action immediately and begin improving your lot in life. However, maybe you're at a point where you just want to simply give back, influence, inspire, motivate others, or be of service. Then do it. You can do it right now. The world needs what you've got to say. The world needs what you've got to give. I heard John Acuff say this one time. He said, imagine you come downstairs Christmas morning and you see a whole pile of gifts with your name on them, but you only open half of them. About January 30th, somebody said, why aren't you gonna unwrap those gifts? Nah, you've got gifts unopened. It's time to get busy unwrapping. It's time to start and begin today on that quest for the rest of your life. What's it going to be? What's it going to look like? You get to decide. You get to pick. America's choose your own adventure, essentially. We're at that point. Choose your own adventure. What will America look like? What will the world look like in a handful of years because you were here? I'm Chris Story. For David Webb and myself and all of us here on Top of the World, I'm reminding you to look forward in life. Learn from your past. But don't forget, the good life is lived right here in the present. We'll see you next time.